Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to a new episode of Good Game, Nice Try. My name's Blay, and I'm joined, as always, by my ecstatically incredible, I'm trying to think of a new qualifier for you, the amazing, the incredible, the lovely, and talented, Sonya Reed. Hello, Sonya.
I think the pause before any of those adjectives really got to my heart for a second.
I only pause before I tell lies.
Yeah. You really came out, it felt like you came out of like a sleeping stance and then you pounced it and just came in real hot.
Woke up. I was literally asleep. I'm recording this from my bed. I'm lying. I'm in a supine position.
Full prone. Okay.
Full prone. That's right. Sonya, I saw you finish The Last of Us this weekend. Congratulations.
Ooh,
congratulations.
Thanks.
Now you're diving into TLOU2.
You got it. Although, like you said, I got to play the DLC first.
Yeah, the DLC first, for sure. But, you know, like, it got me thinking, like, sequels are so hard to pull off because they don't always live up to the hype of the first game. And The Last of Us 1 is so amazing that I was like, please don't make a second.
Please don't touch it.
Just don't do that.
It's good.
But they did, and it's fantastic. But, you know, it got me thinking, Are there any other games that you wish had a sequel that don't have a sequel yet?
KFC Dating Simulator.
Oh,
that's it.
Of course.
Send tweet. That's it.
Send it.
That's
send
all.
It. For people who don't know, by the way, do you want to explain the KFC Dating Simulator to people who have never heard of it?
I mean, I could sum it up by just saying sexy Colonel Sanders, and you just have a narrative way with sexy Colonel Sanders.
I mean, that's it. It's basically a real dating simulator made by the Kentucky Fried Chicken people. We are trying to have sex with Colonel Sanders. That's a real thing. And I beat it.
How did it?
But I lost. He didn't date me.
Oh,
but what would
so
the sequel
sorry.
To that be? Is it still KFC? It's Burger King and you're trying to become.
Well, I think the sequel would be he would actually date you. That's the sequel, specifically for you.
Our producer just wrote Burger Ho in the chat. Thought. It's like Burger Thought.
That's all we
need. I love
it.
Just a slutty Burger King.
It's a slutty Burger King.
It's like Tinder. It's only hookups. It's Burger King, but it's only, it's like flame broiled. There's some kind of pun in there, flame broiled something. Like patties or something, right? Buns, I don't know.
There's something, we could dig there. But you know, I was gonna, you know, I think going from dating into like a marriage simulator might be nice, but you know what? I kind of like your idea of the opposite. Going from like a casual dating thing to honestly just Tinder. Just Tinder, but it's Colonel Sanders and the Wendy's girl. I don't know. Whoever else you want to throw in.
Yeah, it's more hookups. It's like KFC Dating Simulator Nights. You know, it's like, ooh, a little, you know, that Baywatch Nights. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just KFC just after dark.
KFC after.
I love that. When the lights go out at the local KFC. Colonel Sanders is still hanging out looking for love. It's late. Smell of the grease fills the air.
Because you know what that is in real life? KFC After Dark for me is eating in an abandoned parking lot in my car, a whole bucket of chicken.
It's a little more sad, but maybe we could make it a little more sexy. I'm saying.
You want to talk about sexy? Let's talk about our guest today. You know what I'm saying? Hunk.
Ooh.
You know him from Silicon Valley. He stars in the CBS series Be Positive. He's one half of Middleditch and Schwartz. Three hilarious specials on Netflix that everybody should watch. And on top of all that, he's a huge gamer, and we had a blast talking with him. Here's our interview with Mr. Thomas Middleditch.
All right, what do you guys want to talk about? Are you guys real gamers or not?
I got the chair. I got the lighting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what else you want.
Well, are we talking Hearthstone or are we talking some real shit here?
Some real shit.
Thomas, thank you for coming, Mr. Middleditch. It's very exciting. To get started, I think you and Sonia have something in common. Sonia?
Oh? Yeah, I'm glad that we can relate on having that small town Canadian city vibe.
Oh?
Very happy. I'm happy you're putting Nelson, BC on the map.
Oh?
Baby.
Are you from Nelson?
The look on your face, I really don't want to disappoint it. I am not. I'm from Sarnia, Ontario. It's a small Canadian city as well. Oh. But not nearly as poppin' as Nelson, I would say.
Nelson is a hippie enclave in the mountains of southern British Columbia, man. Go there to get your patchouli, your hemp sweaters, and a very LGBTQTTRTT-friendly atmosphere. It is all of it, man. It is a good vibe out there. Love it.
Love that.
I don't know about your spot, but my spot my spot is woker than your spot.
Listen.
Uh-oh, woke battle.
All right. So
look out.
I mean, competing with the petrochemical production headquarters of all of Canada, I don't know how I can compete with that, but.
Oh, man. Okay. All
not
right.
As
one
woke.
Has. No, yours has industry. Ours has culture. Together, we are Canada.
It balances out.
Happy Canada Day.
I love it.
Like
this
all
is coming
things.
Out Canada Day, right? Happy Canada
yeah,
Day.
Yeah, this is our Canada Day podcast. Yeah, we do one every year, and this is the one for that.
Yeah.
But so growing up, you know, it's a hard thing to connect with people when you're young, if you're in kind of a small town. Like, how did you first get into gaming? What was that like?
First of all, not anymore. These kids today.
Yeah.
You say you're a nerd. You're the coolest kid in the school, man. Oh, you like Star Wars? Hey, you run for gosh darn president over here. Anyway, this is my teen-based stand-up comedy.
I feel like I'm in a locker room getting a halftime, like pump up. You
yeah.
know? Come on, guys.
Come on. But back in the, I don't know, I was, I guess, 80s, 90s for me. I had different sections of friends. I had like my drama nerd friends and then my computer nerd friends. They were different. It was different crews.
A little different vibe.
The people that I hosted and went to their LAN parties, local area network.
Yes.
Were a different breed of human. That seems mean, but like I was one of them.
Subhuman.
No. We were just. It was just like a real collection of oddballs. I remember one day, one night, because you'd have these like 48-hour sessions, because that was before high-speed internet, and we'd have to really hardwire everything together.
Yeah, you would bring your physical computer over.
Yeah, your big ass 90s computer with the big monitor and the clunky ass white case, and then. Yeah. You know, you'd play games for 48 hours because you had to make it count. And I remember my dad, he's English. So I'm going to do his accent, but it's not because I just wanted my dad to sound silly. He came into like the, whatever, like little rec room, the living room that we are in. And just slides open the door, pops his head and goes, "Oh, Tom, it smells awful in here." And then shuts it.
That's it.
And I was like, yeah, probably.
I like how that's one of your most cherished LAN party memories is your dad popping in with a thick accent saying that it smells awful.
Yeah, no, we stinky, stinky boys. No, my most cherished memory is when we had like an epic 2-hour capture the flag battle on this game Delta Force, which was an old PC game, but that, man, that was a good LAN game back in the day.
I remember I used to, it would get steamy. I'd play StarCraft with like all my friends, like, you know, And it would just get, it's thick with like, you know, it's like around 3 a.m. and you're just in it, man. I'm like, I'm on the Protoss tip and I'm just, it's the worst. And I'm just getting destroyed. And
that gamer musk.
Everyone's sweating. Yeah, there's thick musk.
Yeah, we had some very excitable and eccentric folks in my little crew. There's this one kid. He was like crucial because there would always be technical glitches and he would come to you like, oh yeah, you just beep, 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 boop. Then at one point he came to this computer and we're like, Dave, what's this about? Because he had this bucket of cold water, like an ice cream pail bucket of cold water with two hoses coming out. And they were clamps like onto his CPU. And he was like, you just
some homemade water. Liquid coolant.
Yes. Cold water goes down here, heats on the CPU, goes back out. And we're like, oh man, I guess. And this a bucket of open water is like perched upon his, you know, his desktop, his case.
Oh, no.
Like the most excitable kid. Like when we'd play, he'd be like, like bouncing around his chair. And it was just like, it was. He got away with it. There were no spills, but boy, that was
for how long?
If it did spill, it spilled out of party. Let's say
it's an out of party spill.
Out of party spill.
Yeah,
there's something about that, like that physicality. That's just like a gem that we don't have any. Can we get like a candle that just smells like a LAN party and try? Can we like recreate that in some sense? Man,
you're onto something there.
Now we're onto something. What was
candles,
it? Bananas.
It smells like. Body odor and a little bit of ramen.
Yeah, a little bit.
I guess it's a quick sidebar. There was a period very recently where I got into candles. I was very into like aromatherapy candles.
Yes.
And you know, like
yes, queen.
Living in Los Feliz, it's like there's all these stores that only sell crystals and candles.
Love
you know,
it.
And there was this one candle I bought, it just said dirt on it. And I was like, there's no way this smells like dirt. There's no way. Like, but it was like shrink wrapped, so I couldn't smell it. And I was like, it's worth $21.
To roll the dice? Just,
right.
Okay.
It smelled exactly like wet dirt.
Hey.
Exactly. I don't know how they did it, man. But a friend came into my house and he was like, why does your apartment smell like an open grave? And I was like, okay, we're done with this. But I was like, it's...
That's like Hogwarts
technology.
Hogwarts candy approach to candles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they took the jelly beans. It's true.
Yeah.
It's a LAN party candle, guys. I think it's our $1 million.
That's
idea.
It. Get the
I was
domain.
Listening to a podcast that there are scientists that are figuring out why wet rain smells like that. And there are like, not chemicals. There's like bacteria that get released. So that smell when you're like on a freshly rained day, that smells great. But that's because like bacteria are having their weird cycle. I half tuned in.
I was like, this seems very scientific.
That's nature sex.
Sex, baby.
Hot, wet sex.
So is that kind of similar to then why I guess gamers have that musk, like the LAN party musk? Are we getting down to the scientifics of that? So
I
maybe
wish.
It's
was a lady a rare sight at ours. Whoever, Sonia, if you were going to them, whoever those boys were luckier than a bag of coins, my friend.
My How lucky goodness. Is a bag of coins?
If you showed Can up we just... to our LAN party back then
with my liquid,
we
cooling...
would have been like. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Who's that?
The I am blah.
Oh my god.
Run!
He's standing and screaming with his
Oh man.
Those were the days, weren't they?
Oh,
those
boy.
were the days. Do you ever go back and play those old games? Like, have you gone back and played Delta Force? Like just to see what it was like?
Man, I haven't, you know what I just, what's cool about YouTube is you can kind of just do it without having to like download the software that'll slow your PC down to make it run like a fucking Pentium 1 on all that shit. I do have this. Yeah, yeah. I've got this new toy. It's that thing, that screen there.
Ooh.
That's like an arcade
cabinet. Oh, that's great.
Oh, hell yeah. That's
so great. I'm playing like the stuff that I, like, cause we had an arcade down the street. And so I played WWF WrestleFest in the arcade. That was like such a big one for me. That and NBA
oh,
Jam.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Harper. I love that. He's oh, my God.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, he's on fire. Yeah. Oh, my God. That was the best. I know my friend bought like a NBA Jam cabinet, and it's just like the greatest thing. But it's on. It's kind of tilted. So if you get crazy, the whole thing starts to shake, and it just adds to like
the whole experience.
Beautiful feel. Yeah, exactly. That's great. Do you download games that go on that? Or how do you get games into your cabinet? It's like an emulator?
Yeah, there's an emulator. It's something called Raspberry Pi, I think. I had someone help me, make it. I paid good money for that. And yeah, and so it's got a bunch of like MAME stuff on it and Super Nintendo, old consoles and stuff like that. So yeah, it's pretty rad. Yeah.
Amazing. You know, when you're a kid, I used to ride my bike to Double Focus, the arcade in Michigan near my house. And you only have, you know, you have just a little bit of money. And so then, you know, I'd play Street Fighter and then Blanca Forever and then die and that's it. But now I can spend a lot of money trying to beat a game. Have you actually gone to the mat and like achieved a bucket list thing of, is there a game that you were just like, as a kid, you really wanted to beat and never did and then have as an adult? You're just
Yeah, there. Well, I mean, so with this is cheap, but because like, it's not. It wasn't. I've paid, but not in quarters. I've paid in thousands.
I hope you paid in lots of quarters.
Yeah,
they really ripped me off.
But what I can do, you know, there's like just like a button to give yourself a coin, right? And so,
yes,
Final Fight was a game that I always sort of like came across in arcades and was just so enamored with, and now it's like, it's fucking easy, dude. You just fucking push the quarters button. No problem. I will say one time, honestly, if I can say this, it's one of the most traumatic experiences of my life.
OMFG.
No, it's not. It's a hard oversell.
This is a safe space.
Yeah. I feel like you guys may understand. I was at the corner arcade. And in my hometown, there was an Esso station. I don't even know if you guys have Esso. It's a gas station, right? And they had this deal going on where when you got gas, you got these little tokens and they kind of look like the size of quarters. And I had played through my $5 allowance at the arcade. And then I had this Esso coin. I was like, oh man, I wonder if it'll work. And I went through, I put it in all these machines and it just went through. And then I was, I guess I'll try it on a pinball machine because I wasn't really into pinball. I pop it in and no shit, 1,000,000 credits.
What?
I don't know why. I don't know what happened, but I was like, whoa, oh. And it was like right by the front desk guy and he didn't see it. And so I was like, oh my God, this is going to be my life. And
like getting away with a crime.
Yeah, I was totally getting around with a crime. And I was like, about start playing. I get like 3 games in and my mom comes and she's like, okay, Tom, time to go. And I was like, this really cool thing happened. He's like, I don't care. She must have had a bad day. And she just yanks me away. And that was that. And I never got to play my 1,000,000 credits. And you know what? People have asked me, so why didn't you get more Esso coins and just do it again? I was too good of like a little boy. I felt like that. I was like, well, now that I know the trick, I shouldn't.
That's so Canadian.
What a lame little dinkazoid.
You made someone's day, though. Wow. They had a field day with
someone else.
That is a short film waiting to have the 1,000,000 credit day. You know, like, dang.
Yeah, other guys remember when so-and-so hit the home run at the whatever World Series.
Where were you when I put the Esso coin in the pinball machine?
Oh my God.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered.
Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
We got to play Halo 5 in Clueless Gamer. That was great. You wiped the floor with Conan. Nobody gets to do that.
Yeah, I destroyed everybody.
You did.
I have that trophy. I still have that trophy.
I wanted to ask.
Yeah, it's in another room. It's huge.
Todd Levin, one of our really funny writers, came up with this idea of for the winner. It's like, right, yeah, like 7 feet tall. It's this insane trophy.
The most obnoxious Little League trophy you could ever get with a stupid spray painted plastic Metal Chief helmet on top of the, I'm assuming, the golfer at the top.
Correct.
Well deserved, though.
Yeah. Well deserved. Yeah. Well deserved. Yeah. One of my favorite things in the world, one of the things that's given me the most joy in my life in the last 5 years, is seeing you and Ben Schwartz do improv comedy. Oh. You guys are the best, so funny, completely insane. And you guys have 3 specials on Netflix, Middleditch and Schwartz. Mm. Unbelievable. Obviously, you guys also, you know, you've played Animal Crossing together. I'm sure you guys play games together all the time.
We don't play that many games together.
Is it Schwartz? He doesn't. He's just like, no, I want to play my own game.
Well, we don't have the same taste. He's a big Nintendo boy, and I am not really.
You're not into running around in your undies in Animal Crossing? That's not,
I mean,
like
that game. That game is so fucking boring. That is a kid's game.
Thank you.
That is a child's game. We only had fun because we were like on the spot to have fun, and it only became fun when we when I pretended to be the Dr. Moreau and like was harvesting like animal humans. Like that's only how that game got fun, is when we were like, oh, we'll just pretend it's a better game than what it is.
I love it. I can see Sonya's soul leaving her body.
I've never been happier.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Come on. You gotta know that game's for kids. That's an ages 4 and up video game, man.
I gotta pay my mortgage.
Get her.
The premise to this game, Sonya, just
get
so you know.
Get her.
The premise of this game, you start off and they're like, these fucking dope animals are like, you're going to have a great time. Can't wait for you to get to your own island. Oh, man, you're going to have the best time. It's yours. It's
sounds
yours.
Great.
It's going to be your island.
It's
you get
all
there,
mine.
You line. And fucking Tom Nook is like, great. Are you so ready to have fun? You owe me $50,000. You're indebted to me. Work your way off, and then your only true payback is if when Timmy Slippers or whatever the fuck that guy's name is, the pop
star, an official Nintendo character, of course,
comes back and gives a concert for you. Meanwhile, you've dug up fossils, you've discovered fucking dinosaurs, and like your end result is like a concert. That game is stupid, and it teaches
stupidness. That's the pinnacle. I get to harvest. I'm a bit of a masochist. I don't know. I get to harvest my fruit and pay off debt for the rest.
It's trash. It's trash.
It's an escape.
Thank you. It is ridiculous. It's
ridiculous. Did you even give it a try?
What? For like 5 minutes, I did, and that was it. I just got like a tent, and I planted some flowers. I'm like, I'm out of here. I stopped playing when I got stung by a bee, and I looked like Hitch, and you know, I'm like crazy. My face blew up, and it was insane. I was like, I don't need this in my life. I'm out of here.
Also, I love how the 2 times you've stood up so impassioned have been yelling about girls at LAN parties and Animal Crossing.
Yeah, one
was in support. Sonya, have you... Do you play big girl games? Like, do you play like
big girl games? Oh man, I last night just finished Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, okay. Sunday just beat Ghost of Tsushima, which is way too hard for me. I fall in the... I'm playing The Last of Us 2 right now. I'm replaying Hellblade. You ever played Hellblade?
No.
Worst name for a game ever, but great game. It's
that's
a real
cool.
good.
It's
time.
A big boy game.
You know, I'm not a big boy yet.
It's a big story game, right? That's more story than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I gotta say, like, and this is something, you know, I think, like, some of my favorite narrative moments have happened in games. Do you have, you know, are you a big, like, that noise.
Which is tying into, I know we're supposed to come up with, like, the top game of all time, which I don't think I can label one.
Okay.
But,
no pressure.
And also, look, first caveat, the big girl, little girl games. That's all tongue in cheek. I don't want the fucking net.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock's the net coming after me because I play all, little boy games too. I play Mount Your Friends. I'm a silly little boy
as well. Of course. Mostly a silly little boy.
I'm mostly a silly little boy. I play all the, you know, Mario Kart. I was just pointing all my old school retro games. Yeah. So don't
a
fucking
lot of people
worry
don't know
about
that
it.
There is no Thomas Middleditch. It's actually just three boys in a giant trench coat that we're talking to right now. It's
exposed.
That honestly checks out more than claiming that I'm a fully grown man. Okay, so narrative moments. Honestly, I think two of the best narrative moments have happened in the same franchise, different games. BioShock 1 and BioShock Infinite had, when you kind of realize the if you kindly... business.
Yes.
And the ultimate payoff of that was just like, holy shit. And then in Infinite, I'm just saying when, because no spoiler, like when there is the closing of a portal, let's say, and you realize certain things, oishel, doishel, dreidel, droidel. That one was, I had a moment.
Mind blown. Yeah.
There is so much with just storytelling and games, and the fact that it adds such a level of immersion when there's like the morality scale of it. You know, like I remember like my first experiences in Fable and realizing that the more shitty things I'm doing to people, the worse I'm looking and people react to me differently. And it just adds like such a different layer to.
Oh, Fable. Fable 2, this is very on brand. I'm saying it taking the piss out of myself because I know whatever, but I at one point able to I got an entire town to sleep with me at once because you can sort of talk to them and woo them and then they'll follow you back to the tavern and then you have this little sequence and I was like, I wonder if you can do more than one person, and then you can, and you're like, I wonder if there's a limit, and there's not,
and there's not.
Did it with an entire, and at one point I'm like walking back to the tavern and like the Pied Piper, all these people are like following me, ready to like come to the orgy.
a fable orgy. I love it.
Yeah.
Love
it. Thank you, that Peter Molyneux.
Yeah. That kind of brings up a question. Like, do you play yourself in a game? Because some people will, like, I always am like, I'm the good boy. I'll always follow all the rules and, like, I don't want to offend anybody and fall out, you know? And, like,
you're asking two Canadians this.
Yeah. Well, I don't, but I'm saying, like, but do you play, is that your chance to unload and blossom your evil self in a game, or do you play yourself?
You know what? Like, with morality games like that, like, okay, for example, in a sports game, like if I play a career in FIFA, I'll have some kind of like alter ego of me. It won't be me, but if I want to fantasize about scoring goals and to international soccer, I'll do that.
Yeah.
But like the morality games, like the Fallouts and the Mass Effects, more so the ones where less even Elder Scrolls, more so the ones where like in the dialogue options, they give you options and they literally like you have a meter of like you're good to bad or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
I actually don't love those because they kind of like reward you for sticking on a train track and like sticking with it. Mm-hmm. So you may actually be in a dialogue option where you're like, I actually don't want to do the good guy thing in this, but I want to get like the bonuses for the full good guy stat or something.
Right. Totally.
And I also typically do the good guy stuff because I find that like when you do bad guy shit and like you just like kill everyone instead, most games you'll get like less experience. You'll probably miss out on content, like you don't get to see more of the quests or whatever. So I think game designers need to embrace a little more gray area and then also eliminate feedback. Like don't tell me if I'm good or bad on the meter. The best example of this is not a morality one, but did you ever play L.A. Noire?
Yes.
A city of undercurrents where not everything is as it seems.
L.A. Noire is a fantastic game. You're Detective Cole, and you're going through the story, you're interviewing suspects, and they've got this great mechanic of like you're trying to find the tells and all this stuff and peg them on the right question. But what ends up happening is they give you a sound effect if you kind of like go right or wrong in your interrogation. That meant that you assured me that if ever I got the wrong sound effect, I was going to save scum until I got the right one, because there's no way I'm going to miss out on the content. Don't tell it. Just have no, there shouldn't be any repercussions content wise or whatever for your story, for your decision.
I totally agree.
I think the biggest repercussions I can think of, speaking of Fallout, I remember how many times I saved Megaton. How many times I saved Moira Brown, as fucking annoying as she was. I spared her and the entirety of Megaton and didn't get my ball in apartment by blowing it up so many times. Right. I think it took like 5 or 6 times that I played through of being like, oh, no, we love Megaton, gotta save it. And then on the 6th, I'm like, I'm sorry, Moira. Gotta do it. But you're right. There is something so different about, I mean, the content you get from that. It's such an entirely different experience that I would have never had. I wouldn't have had a penthouse apartment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I also feel like sometimes in those games, like the bad guy choices are so arch. Like they're so like, oh, it's not more like, it's not like, oh yeah, I kill this person or survive. And that's kind of like the less paragon option, but it's more like, oh yeah, do you want to be the ringmaster of a slave trade?
The leader of a death
blow
squad.
Up the world. It's like, well, fuck, like, I don't know, not really. Yeah, like right. Like you're still supposed to be a hero. I just wish there were a different, like, I don't know, just different ways to be the hero, I suppose.
Yeah, just a little more, absolutely a little more nuanced. I mean, have you ever thought about writing a video game?
Constantly.
Really?
Constantly. Wow, I like and it. I've pitched
Animal Crossing 2?
Yeah, Crossing basically. Two? I just want to set something in the Animal Crossing world.
I can see it.
I can't wait.
But no, I've been like, I've pitched so many different video games to so many different indie developers, but it's a bit like, here's the feedback I get is like, man, that sounds cool. You should go make it. And I'm like, well, what am I going to learn? Unity? And no, it's not
right.
Because I think it's a bit like, I mean, look, if there are any game developers that listen that would want to make a video game with me, please reach out. Hit me up on Instagram at Tom Beanie. Because I think most of the time, if I go, hey man, I got a great idea for a video game, it's a bit like someone who's like, who works in finance or something coming up to me and being like, I have a great idea for a script. Hear my idea, then you write it.
Right.
Exactly. So I understand.
Similar energy. You know,
I think it's a little disingenuous to portray yourself as the guy in finance. I would say maybe you have a bit more storytelling skill.
I have straight up offered people, like, let me write a side quest in Elder Scrolls game. Like,
DLC.
Tiniest thing. I know that is probably an absurd ask.
Excuse me, Mr. Elder Scrolls. Can I just
anything
put this in here?
It doesn't have to be them, but it's like I've put the vibe out there. My goodness.
Well, you know what? We're going to start a campaign to get you to get somebody to make your video game. We'll start it.
Let's do it. Because they're so expensive, right? You wouldn't understand how much it takes to make a video game. It's always been an interesting idea of like, okay, if someone works at this big sort of company, either like a Hudsucker Proxy kind of like, we make everything, or like or just like a tech company of some kind, like a Google. And essentially they figure out, oh my God, there's some big war happening with the CEOs, and essentially there's kind of like a world, an in-between in the company that they have to like travel through, and in there's like a man made of raisins and all these like strange oddities that they have to go figure out this very banal corporate story to.
I love that.
Anyway, that's what I think. So that's probably, that pitch is probably why no one wants to make a video game with me.
No one wants Raisin Man?
No one wants Raisin Man.
Nobody. Literally nobody wants Raisin Man. That's hard to believe.
The world deserves a Raisin Man. You know, in these troubled times, these strange days, these COVID years, we need a Raisin Man.
Find some solace in Raisin Man.
If Game Grumps can do Dream Daddy dating Dream Daddy or whatever, then surely the Middle Ditch brand can come up with something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If KFC can do the Colonel Sanders dating sim, which, by the way, is pretty fun.
It's fun, and they made him too hot.
I agree.
I got to say it.
He's too sexy.
It's not.
He is. It's too.
The Colonel
too much.
Is.
I agree.
It's not right.
Totally agree.
It's not right.
He's a sexy. Thomas, we're not kidding. He's a sexy looking Colonel. He's sexy. He's the Colonel want him to be.
Yeah.
I can't alt tab out of any of the things. You got me recording on my phone. You got me zooming on the iPad. if I could, I would open something else up and Google image sexy Colonel Sanders right now.
We don't want you to be aroused during the podcast. Not that's for that's
too
for
late.
Time.
That's later. That happened. That happened when I logged on, and it's been happening this whole time.
All right. Just, well, before we go,
I've just been talking about video games, just edging the entire time.
The whole thing, yelling to his cat fur, just
LAN parties,
just gamer sweat,
edging the whole time. Oh God, that LAN party candle. I'm telling you, it's our million dollar idea.
Sure.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, before we go, we don't want to make you have to say your favorite game and your least favorite game, but what do you think, if you had to pick a game that you despise?
Man.
Any personal vendettas? Someone that's
video game vendettas.
Done you wrong.
What is a game that I can't stand?
I mean, it could be Animal Crossing, frankly. I think you've gone hard.
We've already tiptoed around it.
It's not the worst of all time. It's just, when everyone's going goo goo gaga over it, and I'm like, it's for fucking kids. And that doesn't, that maybe not be wrong. Like, I get you want a peaceful experience.
Right.
But sure, there's so many better. I think, to be honest, this is gonna be troublesome.
Hot take. Honest Town USA. Let's go.
I think Nintendo as a brand is guilty of like a lot of various Animal Crossings. Nintendo's approach to ultra family fun, which I get, and I've had a great time. Overcooked, I'm loving it. It's fun. But sometimes it's just a little too basic.
All right.
So all of Nintendo's catalog sucks. We get it.
That's your worst. Yeah.
I'm totally kidding. But a game that you're obsessed with.
Okay, so there's a game. I played it on PC. I'm not sure if you can do it on console, but it's called Gone Home. Have you ever heard of this?
Heard of it.
Oh, I think you can play it on iPad too. But Gone Home is like, a great example of what I think is storytelling video games, is art in video games, and is like adult video games without meaning adult XXX. Like, just like, this is just an adult game, right? So you play this like young woman having come home to her like family home in the suburbs of Seattle after like backpacking in Europe. And you come home and the house is empty. And all you're doing is just looking around, walking around, and interacting with objects that are in the house, reading diary entries, listening to mixtapes that you and your sister made, and all this kind of stuff. And it's a bit spooky, and you're also learning, you're just learning about your family. But somehow they make it super engaging just by like reading like the blurb that your dad's friend wrote him when he wrote his book. And you're like, okay, I'm just learning about my dad now.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe and it's raining. And it's just like you and your sister made like La Tigre-esque 90s grunge mixtapes and stuff. And it's just, that game deserves a big old nod.
Oh. Gone Home feels to me like you couldn't have that experience in any other format.
Right. If anyone has not played Gone Home that listens to this, play it and let this be a middle ditch endorsement. And then if you go and play it and you're like, the fuck is he talking about? Nintendo would make this so much better. I could be around this house and Mario would be going, it's me! And if fucking they just shove Mario and Zelda down my throat because they got Waluigi, like,
and you're paying for the house. You're in debt.
Yes. And they got 10 good characters and they're just shoving. And they're like, oh, fucking all these other guys too. They're there. Anyway.
Everyone's here. The gang's all here.
Everyone's here.
Hey.
Remember, imagine if Sega consoles were still around and you were just only had to play fucking Sonic games. And they were just like, Sonic's here again. Hey, remember you forgot about Sonic. And there, it's like every third game is a Sonic game. And shocker, most of them suck. Just imagine, imagine. Then when would your fanboy be?
Man, huh? Oh man.
This was a delight. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Just, you know, if I really stick my foot in it, just edit it out.
Don't worry. Yeah, all this is coming out. We aren't recording. This isn't going to be a podcast. This is, yeah,
no, this is going to be like, hey, hey, how you doing? LAN parties. All right, bye. That was
hey,
time.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm just happy to have heard the words Esso gas station. As a Canadian, I don't know the last time I've heard that. And for the person who stumbled upon this pinball machine at an Esso gas station, you have a long overdue thank you letter to send to Thomas Middleditch. I'm just saying, honestly. If you haven't already, you have to check out Middleditch and Schwartz on Netflix. The specials are hilarious. I have watched them multiple times. They are so funny and you won't regret it.
All right, guys, look, before we move on, we have a very special treat for everybody listening.
Special treat is definitely the way to put it. We were inspired by the conversation.
I mean, look, when you have somebody like Thomas Middleditch and the ideas are flying fast and furious, you want to capitalize on it. So here's the deal. We have created a candle that smells like a LAN party.
I can't believe those words just came out of your mouth. And I'm
that's it.
You know, again, we just full steam ahead. And now there's a LAN party scented candle that could be yours.
This candle really does smell like a LAN party, just like you remember it. Thomas suggested that scent is, quote, body odor with just a hint of ramen. And guess what? They did it. We were so busy asking, could we never asked, should we?
And if you want to grab yours today for yourself, for all of your friends, for multiple rooms in your house, you can go to podswag.com/teamcoco. And this is a hot ticket item. So you're going to want to grab it while supplies last. So take a bubble bath with it, you know, relive your LAN party glory days. It really does make a good gift. So
again, that's podswag.com/teamcoco to show your GGNT pride. Get the world's first LAN party scented candle and probably the last also.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Now, look, before we go, we wanted to close out this episode with something a little bit spicy. Last week, we talked to Laura Bailey, who's done a million voices for a million different video game characters. And we talked with her about, you know, the fact that she kind of likes to throw a little romance and imagine it as she's romancing the other video game characters. And that got us thinking, look, Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're spending time in these video game worlds with these video game characters. You might fall in love a little bit. You might get a little bit of a crush. So we wanted to hear all about your video game crushes, and you guys answered us in spades. We have a lot of great video game crushes that people have written in to us about. And of course, if you ever want to contact us, tweet at us with hashtag GGNT. So I thought we could go over some video game crushes. What do you think?
Yeah, people really gave lists.
We struck a nerve. Struck a sexy nerve.
A lot of romance out there. What did you end up getting?
You got your Joel from The Last of Us, sure. Michael from GTA 5, okay. Geralt from Witcher, of course. Yeah. Then there was like Potato Gladys from Portal. Do you remember Portal? And there's in Portal 2, the evil woman robot.
And
there's a point at which she gets put into a potato. The potato version of the evil robot.
That is so specific.
Look, and you know what? I'm not going to kink shame. We all got our things. Some of us like potatoes. Some of us like potatoes.
The heart wants what the heart wants, I guess.
The heart wants what it wants.
And then there was two that had like an overwhelming response.
Whoa.
So,
okay.
Just to throw out a couple, there was a lot of love for Cortana. Cortana? Oh my goodness.
It's Cortana, thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Good Lord.
Cortana and her people.
Focus fire.
You will not betray her.
adding a little spin on it.
Do you even Halo, bro? Do you even Halo?
Oh my God. There was a lot of love for Cortana out there, honestly. Yeah. Jill Valentine, Resident Evil.
Okay.
There's some love. Okay. Some love for Jill.
All right.
Yeah. We got some Lilith, Borderlands.
What's up?
I would say she's cute. Chad Skittles had a good comment of, you know, some of those early GTA girls just have polygons in all the right places. So
I will say one of my favorite cosplays is when people do the 8-bit Lara Croft with like the cone boobs and like the big polygon butt. It's like
very angled.
It's very angled. It's so funny.
It's so good.
That's one of my favorite things. Those are pretty strong. Those are pretty strong. Any suggestions that people wrote in where you, Sonya, were like, ooh, yeah, I could see that.
Oh, absolutely. One of them was one of the people who had like an overwhelming response. Pan Am in Cyberpunk.
All right. Look,
absolutely.
I don't know who that is. Who's Pan Am in Cyberpunk? I haven't played enough Cyberpunk to know.
Pan Am is a character who is, she's kind of out in the deserty area, and you meet up with her at some point to do some missions. But she's just this badass babe. I will say she's pretty hot. I definitely tried to romance her because there are characters that you can romance. You know, there's certain characters that you can romance in Cyberpunk. I'm not going to say I didn't shoot my shot. Don't think she's into it.
But then we got like a couple people came at me with KK Slider.
I can see it.
KK Slider from Animal Crossing? KK Slider?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, okay.
He's the cool guy. He rolls up, what is it, like once on Sundays or so. He comes by like once a week or at night or something. He rolls into the cafe. He's all cool, like playing guitar and stuff. You know, he's the cool guy.
The cool guy. All right. Here is my favorite response. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Favorite response was Joseph Seed from Far Cry 5. He's a cruel megalomaniac, but I go for toxic relationships. I love the honesty. The moth drawn to the flame of megalomania.
Exactly. Whatever.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone else has a crush on Joseph Seed.
Listen, I didn't think I'd have competition, but it's okay. Whatever. I'll get over it.
You know what? I'm just sad. I have competition for Potato Gladys. Well, thank you all for writing in your video game crushes. Once again, if you have any questions, concerns, comments, or just you want to say something nice to us, or you want us to review a game for you, or you want us to recommend a game, or you want me to stop talking as much, tweet at us with the hashtag GGNT. And if we read your comment, question, or admonishment on the air, we'll get you something free. There you go. Free stuff.
Everyone likes free stuff. And, you know, I'm sure we could use a little nice nice thing every now and then.
Yeah,
send us a nice comment.
We all could. There you go.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening. This was a joy diving into our love of Tiwi. And, send in your requests on Twitter. Use hashtag GGNT. Don't forget to rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see your beautiful faces next week.
Good Game, Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Hannes Brown. And music by John Danick.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.